There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Christmas Eve edition of the show. Phone number and the text line, both the same as they ever were, 343-0106, 343-0106. In addition, you can also get us a recorded message through the FM Talk 106.5 app. See the microphone icon right there on the front page. Lets you record a message, emails it to us as well. And lots to do on this pre-Christmas show. We'll talk more in the second half of the show. Remind folks about what's going on holiday-wise here through this station and around town from now through next week with the New Year holiday. I do want to bring on our leadoff batter and our guest. And I was going to miss this man, but I don't think I'm going to let him go, even when he's not AL1's Congressman. Jerry Carl is joining us now as we get started on this Monday. Hey, Congressman.
Good Monday morning, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. Let's talk about that first of all. So are you home now?
I am home. It is so nice not to be boarding an airplane trying to get to my first vote in D.C. It's the first time in 4 years that, you know, that worry is not working on my mind. But glad to have represented District 1. It was purely an honor on my part. And I look forward to what the next chapter is going to be.
Well, you know, I've got that in my back pocket. We're going to talk about the next chapter at some point here. I'm going to ask you the questions. Congressman, before we go any further, so your last vote in D.C., was it that no against the CR, or what was it?
It was the CR, it was, and I was a yes on the last vote.
Right.
We got some things changed around and cleaned up. So the entire Alabama delegation, except for Terry Sewell, Terry was the only no.
Well, I mean, what was it that changed from that first CR last week when you gave it the thumbs down to when you voted yes? What things changed that made it where you could vote yes?
The cap ceiling. It's going to have to be raised. Trump made it very clearly known to the House that he wanted it raised in this cycle. But there was no way we were going to get enough votes for that. And we knew that going into it. And I was a no on that round when we whipped it. I was a no because the cap ceiling, although it's going to have to be done, probably. I don't know any other way around it. If it needs to be done,
explain that for a second, too.
People,
Congressman, you said the cap ceiling. What was the debate? What did Trump want?
Well, Trump wanted it where we raised the debt ceiling so we could actually borrow more money. And, you know, that's something that we've been fighting against as Republicans, and he fights against it too. But he was trying to buy himself some time so he could deal with other issues. It will come up. The debt ceiling will come back up. It'll come up probably in the first, if definitely not the second quarter it'll come up, because I think we'll spend out, and it's either May or June. So it's got to be done. I'll tell you, it was an experience last week watching Elon Musk work on the House. It really was. I think everybody in there just got just a little bit of a taste of what's coming, because he just opened up a barrage of negative things against the House. And, you know, we voted for Trump. We've got to support Trump. It's going to be a lot of negative stuff, just like what Elon did, you know, to get people to quote-unquote fall in line with his thinking. We met with Elon about 3 weeks ago. he basically told us he's going to identify where the waste is at. He's going to turn it over to the House, and it's the House's job to get it cleaned up. Sounds pretty simple. Until it's in your district, until they want to take away from your you know, get stuff out of your play box or your playpen, and then it becomes a real issue. So it's going to be a tough race. But, you know, Sean, to be honest, this country's in such a mess financially, and we've got to start tightening our belt. Not just, you know, everybody wants to point it at everything that we've done in Ukraine, and I've not been a Ukraine supporter other than the first vote. You know, all that money, but let's start looking at social programs. We just pour tons of money into that we see nothing in return. So I think you're going to see a lot of social programs, and again, that's going to hit Alabama. Get ready, folks. It's going to hit us. But if we're going to fix this, I've said it from the very beginning, we're all going to feel some pain.
No, and I do want to get into details on that. I'm going to come right back to that because, you know, this is something that fiscal austerity has been, you know, kind of my brand, I guess, since I started doing talk radio. But I want to go back to this situation where you have President Trump, even though there's the reasoning, the nuance there, asking for an increase in the debt ceiling. At the same time, you've got Elon and Vivek talking about the overspending. I mean, to be on the outside looking at Washington, it seems like the messaging's confused. I mean, you see what I'm saying? I know that there's a detailed reason why not, but I mean, I can sit there and go, what is it? Are we going to raise the debt ceiling and not, you know, not force the hand here? Or are we going to actually make real cuts? That's the thing. I look at Doge and I worry, are they going to have the teeth to do what's needed?
Well, we made a deal with the president that we would, I'm sorry, the 119th Congress made a deal, a verbal deal with the president that they're going to make some drastic cuts and changes in spending. So the cuts are promised and they're going to do it. In return, we were able to take the debt ceiling out so we could get enough votes to cross the line. We couldn't do it without Democrat votes. We all knew that to start with. I mean, that goes without saying. I promise you, if they're not planning on working with the Democrats this 119th Congress, zero will get accomplished, because there's a handful of Republicans, I don't care what color you paint it, they're gonna dislike the color. That's just the way they are. They find something negative and wrong with everything. So they've got a one vote margin. So they've got to work with the Democrats. Now, my Republican friends all of a sudden are offended and going, oh, my God, I can't believe you'd work with the Democrats. Isn't that the way this country's supposed to work? Aren't we supposed to sit down and reasonably work things out to benefit everybody? I didn't say give it away.
But play devil's advocate for a second. You just said the Democrats, no matter what color the box is painted, they don't like it. So should
Republicans. Okay. I've said a handful of Republicans feel that way. So there are some Democrats that you can work with. There are some Democrats over there that are very common sense people. And then you've got the squad. The squad is, they stick their nose in everything. That is a mixed up group of people, I'm telling you.
So to circle back, you were talking about it. I'm very interested in this Doge committee. But I am also worried. I even made notes to myself here to say, hey, Congressman, will Doge actually accomplish anything other than getting headlines? Meaning what you said is going to hit individual districts. There's going to be people fighting for it. And I'm actually a supporter of these kind of cuts. But the politics of it makes me cynical. I've watched this happen before. I mean, I have, you know, we have had government shutdowns and all that throughout the years, but I've watched this before, and it seems like there's a lot of talk, but as soon as it gets to real cutting time, people fall over. They bend to the will of Washington.
Okay, if Doge is going to work, Elon Musk has got to start. Where does he start? He starts looking at the staffing of the federal government. There's so many people that work for the federal government that are not needed. There's a lot of great people that work for the federal government that truly take pride in their job, but there's a lot that don't. They've got to look at employee overload, you know, the total volume. They've got to pick a percent and cut from that. When you start looking at buildings, you start looking at office spaces, you start looking at people that want to work from home. I mean, all those things have got to be taken in consideration and moved on quickly. These people don't want to return back to work. You're talking about, in some cases, a couple of 3 years that people have not come back to work. They want to work from home or not at all. So the part I pay attention to.
That's what you and I are both business folks there. That's the easy. You come into a company that's bleeding money. Okay, that's the easiest cut. That may not be the biggest line item, but that's the thing that's easiest to cut. But beyond that, then, you talked about social programs. And, while people love, and I'm sure my text line's full when I go to read it, with people talking about money for foreign governments and all those things. And those are maybe easier, lower hanging fruit, but they are not the big ticket items that the entitlement programs are in this country. And I'm a guy that would like to have Social Security, but I got to ask questions. Are we, we pretending that something's true that's not, that the emperor has new clothes instead of no clothes?
Well, Social Security, as you and I know it and view it, there's nothing wrong with it. It needs to be shored up. Social Security and some of these benefits that are being used are abused. I made this statement one day and I was called down for it. But if someone has done methamphetamines, for example, and they go to the doctor and they say, I have side effects from what I did 10 years ago, and I can't concentrate, all of a sudden it becomes a disability, and they qualify for money. Now, those are the social benefits we've got to start cutting. We've truly got to start looking at this, because there are people out there that do need help, but there are so many out there that are riding the system. Those are the things that we've got to start focusing on and looking at. We've got to define what qualifies as needing help and what doesn't need help. It's just being abused. I mean, our VA system, as bad as everybody says it is, there's a lot of cuts that can be made in the VA system that are regulatory, so I'm told. I mean, when you got a physician that sees five or six, maybe seven patients a day, a normal general practitioner will, especially this time of the year, flu season, they'll see somewhere between 50 to 60 a day. So how do you spur that VA doctor to see 5 times, 10 times, twice as much? I mean, pick a number. You've got to start putting pressure on these government employees that feel like there's nothing can happen to them. They get a free ride.
All right. Coming back, more with Congressman Jerry Carl right here on Midday Mobile. Got your calls and text. Got text already in. Questions at 343-0106. We'll get to some of those when we return. Talk 106.5, Christmas Eve edition of Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. He's been doing it for 16-plus years now. That's getting junk gone. And as we look forward to the next week, after we get through Christmas, of course, the New Year's holiday, people will be making New Year's resolutions. I got an idea for you here. If you're going to make a New Year's resolution to get organized around the house, here's my pro tip. Get rid of the junk. Fewer things, easier to organize. And Trey can do that for you, whether that is your house, outside your house. Trey reminds me to remind you, they do big stuff like above ground pools, trampolines, swing sets, storage buildings, stuff like that. They can take those down and get them away and gone, or clean out a storage unit, or if you need junk gone at an office or a shop, wherever. You got junk, you need it gone. You need my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So make that appointment. It may not be something you want to get him out there until next week. That's fine. You can make the appointment as well online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And Merry Christmas to my man Trey and his crew as well. His local folks doing a great job. Continuing with Congressman Jerry Carl and our conversation here. Congressman, it's just the idea. I have this, I guess I feel like I'm about to have the football pulled away from me again. I got so excited about Doge, and I told everybody on the air when I was getting excited about it, I said, this is like me, as a kid, you think, I don't know, you get to expectations for something that doesn't come true. And I worry about that because there are so many, there's so many headwinds for this and so many places where you said, okay, well, we could cut here. Let's cut. I don't want the guy who's doing drugs who comes in for, you know, for the damage he's done to himself to get on some kind of disability. At the same time, each one of those cases is going to be litigated and there's going to be some kind of personal story behind it. I'm for it. I'm really for it. I just worry about the pragmatism, you know, eating away at the idealism.
Well, when we put the budget together on appropriations, we took every department of from a financial standpoint, and we cut it. I mean, everybody wanted to grow 12, 15, 16% in some cases to get the military, but we cut every one of them. It can be done. Don't tell me it can't. It can be. But to the degree that people think it's going to be done, I mean, you may see $2.5 trillion cut over the next 10 years. It's not going to be $2.5 trillion the first year. But it is something we have to put in. We have to put into motion. You know, all the money we give overseas. Again, I sat on the committee working with those. It blew my mind the things that you know. Once it passed us and it got to the Senate, it would be changed. And you know, we're paying for LGBTQ classes down in Guatemala. And I mean, just silly stuff like that. That if they need it, want it, they can pay for it. We as American taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for it. So there's so many things that we can start doing a deep dive in. Shut the border down. Shut these programs off that's giving them, I've seen articles all over the place, but $2,000 a month living expenses. You know, we're going to return a lot of them. Don't think for a second we'll get them all returned. But if we can get the top 10% of the bad characters, my gosh, think how positive that would be to our economy. I mean, just get those bad characters out of here. Sure it is, but we want them all. Granted, we do want them all.
Yeah, but what is it? Perfection is the enemy of good. You know, you could say it only succeeds. So, yeah, you should do what you can. And one thing that I keep harping on with folks, and you'll get it, your time as a businessman, but what drives me crazy is the interest on the debt. And to me, that's got to be, you could find some agreement there. I mean, could anybody run their personal household? I would like them to think about that. Yeah. If the amount of money we spend to service the debt, that's money that's not going to any program. It's just paying for interest. And it seems like if you could get this thing started, a snowball here of reducing debt, therefore reducing interest, being able to use more capital against the interest to reduce the interest, it would have a freeing effect, a liberating effect on our nation and put us more in a position of strength.
I used to teach my managers, you know, there's two ways to get out of debt. One is I used to say, increase the gas, you know, sell more products, mm-hmm. get more cash flowing through, keep your costs under control. You know, the second thing is figure out what you can cut back and live without at the same time trying to grow that
volume. Do them at the same time. That's the thing. Do them. I agree 100%. If we could do them at the same time.
One thing they taught me in flying an airplane, when you get in trouble and something's going, give it power. If nothing else, mm-hmm. give it power and get higher until you figure out what's going on. So the same thing with the economy. We've got to cut back. We've got to get lean. We've got to get lean. And at the same time, we've got to figure out how to stimulate the economy, how to get us back to where we were. We've had all this false money over the last 4 years poured into the economy. It's a synthetic economy. I named it that. It's a synthetic economy. It looks good on the outside, but it's got plastic poured into its veins. It is not blood. So Trump's got to get in there. We've got to get it. We'll see him do it. I'm telling you, from day one, it's going to be solid confusion. From day one, you're going to see Trump attack. From day one, you're going to see, you know, the House start fighting over what you know, is coming out of these reports and what we should be doing. That's part of democracy. For the House to argue, for the Republicans and Democrats to argue on the floor, that's democracy. It's not pretty. So we're going to have to be patient. We're going to have to send the right people up there and get it done.
Well, and we're going to have the, you know, will of the people. Congressman, can you hold on during the news break? All right, coming right back. More with Congressman Jerry Carl right here on Midday Mobile.
the best time of
you know, it's,
the year.
It's really not Christmas till you hear Burl Ives sing. Yesterday, in my convalescence, I was still enough to watch the old claymation Rudolph and the abominable snow monster and the elf that wanted to be a dentist. Classic film. Or cartoon or claymation, whatever the heck it is. Welcome back. It is Christmas Eve edition of Midday Mobile. Get right back to Congressman Carl. But first, let's check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And if Santa has waited to pick up his new sleigh, it's getting pretty tight here, David.
Yeah, you better come on. We've got a great inventory. All the stuff that we bought last week, of course, is in and all been inspected, and the ones that needed services and different other things have already had it done. So we've got a really good inventory on the ground right now. A lot of variety. We got a really nice Dodge Challenger on the ground, red. We got a Yukon XL that's kind of a rare one. I was doing some research on it the other day. There's only three of them in the United States for sale. It's called a Graphite Performance Package. It's got a Corvette motor in it, and it's a really neat truck.
All right. What about hours for today? And then are you going to be open Christmas Eve or are you closed?
Today's normal day. We'll be there till 2 o'clock tomorrow, Christmas Eve, 2 o'clock. And then, of course, close Christmas. And then back Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, excuse me, not Sunday.
All right. Good stuff. People want to find you. If they have not yet been to LCM, how do they find you?
We're on Highway 90 in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Real easy to find us. We're on a corner to red light, Plantation and Highway 90. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
All right. Merry Christmas to you and the whole crew.
Same to you, buddy. Have a great week.
All right. There goes Dave McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Continue our conversation with AL1's Congressman. I guess, is it official, Congressman, that as of leaving, you're now not the official? When does it, or does it happen when the new Congress is seated? What, like, if somebody had an issue who do they call?
They still call me. We've got an ad running because I know there's a lot of confusion. Mm-hmm. We've got an ad running on your station telling folks to still call my office. The numbers are still good. Now, as of January 3rd, I think, it will roll over to Barry's numbers, and I do not have their numbers memorized, but I'm sure Barry will probably have a recorded some type. They'll get you to the right place. But I am the congressman of January 3rd. So I was dealing with IRS issues this morning and Panama Canal issues. So,
I there's so many things I want to get to. But the Panama Canal issue, can we do it? Because I want to come back to what we were talking about. But what about that Panama Canal? Is there any leg to stand on? You know, Trump talking about taking it back.
So Tommy Tuberville and I have been down there twice. I've been down there twice. I went once with Tommy. We met with the president twice. I've met with the president twice. We tried to get some better relationships with them. Problem down there is, like so much of Central American countries, you know, I got chastised for spending time in Central American countries, but the Chinese are moving in. They're building roads. They're building bridges. They're pouring money into their economy. And here we were locked down with COVID, and we weren't doing anything. So, you know, we all they want to do is see us. They want to, and where we're at now with Panama, the Chinese are on the verge of taking that canal over. I've got an article that was just released. We'll wait and see who picks it up, if anybody. But an article that was just released on you know, the Panama Canal, and the Americans, obviously, we built it. Jimmy Carter decided to give it back for a dollar. Now Trump's talking about taking it back. I see where they were tearing his name off his building down there, Trump Country Club or whatever it was. We have to get a better relationship with them. And we've got to send people down there that can negotiate it and work it. As a congressman and as a senator, we went down there as a pair and really tried to work with that government as much as we could and can. So don't give up on it. It's just one of many things. That canal is so important to national security, not to mention the tonnage of freight that's coming in and out of Mobile in the Gulf of Mexico. So we've got to be very careful down there. Trump's kind of got into it. I don't know how much, you know, I don't want to get into that part of it, but we've got to get that nation back looking at us and working with us, and not China.
Congressman, during the break, you had sent me just on what we were talking about. You had sent me a tweet here from the Club for Growth, and Doge, for people, I've explained this a couple times on there, but Doge is not a government agency. I mean, it's not like they have to make recommendations to the House, right? But the Club for Growth, right. If y'all remember those folks, how they've meddled in elections around here, posted up and said the founders never intended for an unelected bureaucracy to have immense legislative power. Today, the regulatory state governs lives more than Congress. It's time to reform. It's time for reform from at Doge. So Club for Growth chiming in on it.
So that's exactly what I was talking about, where the fights will be. Club for Growth got me beat. They poured tons and tons of money into my election, got me beat. You know, I lost fair and square. I'm not crying over that. But, you know, you get groups like that, and that Club for Growth, I believe in their basic concept, which is conservative views. But they get in the trenches on stuff that they have no business doing. Give Donald Trump a chance to get in there and do what he says he's going to do before you start pointing him out saying he's wrong. But okay, they're not wasting time doing that. That's what I'm telling you. I mean, the fight's already begun, and he's not even sworn in.
I'm going to jump to the text line here, too. This one first, self-serving, because this was one of my questions. Jason also asked it. Jason asked it this way. He says, does Mr. Carl believe that the Gates report is accurate and was done fairly? Remember what I've asked you on the air, and then personally, I'm like, it's not politics for me. I just need to know what this guy, did he do the stuff they're saying he did, you know, or didn't? And the stuff that's come out today from that House report seems to me pointing at the fact that, yes, he did have a woman who was under 17 for sexual relations. At least that's what it says in the report.
I know enough members of Congress that saw that video that I was convinced that he was guilty of it without a doubt, without any doubt in my mind from conversations with them, not with Matt. Now, I don't think they should have released that report. Very simply, if they're going to release it on Matt, they ought to release it on everybody. I'm not a Matt Gaetz fan.
I'm on board.
I've never been a Matt Gaetz fan. But if you're going to be fair,
I'm a truth fan.
Fair.
I'm not anti-Matt Gaetz. I'm truth fan. Give me truth. I don't care what your letter is behind your name.
Yes.
Then why not? Why not? I mean, if we have people at that high level that have broken laws, okay, so how do we push for that? How many reports are out there? How many numbers do I need to ask for?
We have no way of knowing that. I don't know where you would start, because ethics committee, I mean, that's a handful of congressmen, and they are very focused on what they do, and they take great pride in what they do. Michael Guest over in Mississippi, he does head that committee up, and he's one of the most sincere human beings I know. Just a good, strong Christian man. But there's so much stuff there that maybe we don't need to know. Maybe we don't want to know. But with that said, you know, if you're going to release it on Matt Gaetz, release it on everybody else.
I 100% agree. I don't care what the letter is behind your name.
I would have kept that seal just like the rest of them. I don't understand the benefits of releasing it, because he's out of office. There's nothing you can do to him.
Right. True. I just wanted to know. I just want to know, like, when there's so many allegations get met, and we're going to come right back to the text line, but so many allegations get made in politics, and then there's never a follow through. You know, it's October surprises, this, that, or the other. It's never prosecuted. And myself, I'm a conservative guy, but I'm not so conservative that if you did wrong, I think you're okay. You know, I want truth on all sides.
If you're wrong, you're wrong.
Correct.
There's no gray area, especially when you start talking about children.
Well, the problem is there's a gray area. There's a bunch of other allegations, and so many allegations get made. We get used to these things, especially against Republicans, getting leveled that have nothing to it. It's it's all like insinuation. So if there is something real, then I want to know. You know, that's where I am with this.
I agree.
Congressman, from the text line here, Rick said, as a 24-year Army vet that's 100% VA, I guess that I will have to prove my injuries again if some Republicans and a lot of Democrats have their way to pay for illegals by taking from the vets.
To pay for illegals taking from the vets.
Well, maybe he's talking about cuts to VA, but you weren't talking about that. You're talking about efficiency from VA, right?
Yeah, I was talking about efficiency. I wasn't talking about cutting from VA. VA's got plenty of money. VA finds ways to burn money. So we've done a good job of trying to take care of our veteran community. I hope that's one thing can be said about all of us. But our illegals, I agree with him. We don't need to take money from anything to finance these illegals that are coming in. You know, send them home. The last thing we want to buy them is a ticket. You know, put them on a plane and send them. You know, El Salvador doesn't want to take them. We'll remind El Salvador that we give them X amount of dollars per year. If they don't want them to take them, fine. They're not getting any more cash either.
See, that's the benefit, y'all, foreign aid. That right there, what you just said, because somebody the other day said, well, let's cut all foreign aid. But it is a leverage point, the same way that, like, my kid who's sitting out on the porch right now here at the West Mobile County Studios, when she's away in New York at school and I tell her to do something and she's 19 years old, my leverage point is, okay, would you like your money this month? Then go do the thing.
You know, we're talking about Panama Canal. Tom and I were working with the canal folks on getting them transportation. They were going to literally pick people up coming through their strip down there and take them back to Columbia, wherever they were going. We needed to provide them either boats or planes. And that's what we've been working on that for a year and a half. Now, you can't get this administration to work with you on anything, but that was some of the stuff we were focusing on. So we do have to help some of these countries that are friendly to us. But why in the world would we give money to Iran or some of these countries that hate us? I'd rather give my money to people that like us, not hate us.
Well, the Iran thing is a debacle. That was a debacle from the Obama presidency on. This from an unnamed texter.
Obama's the worst thing that's happened to this country in my lifetime, without a doubt. And we just lived four more years of it through.
Wait. Is it because it was 8 years? You're saying it was worse than?
No,
let's just take 4 year blocks.
It's not 8 years of Biden.
Well, true, but I mean,
years of Obama,
because of Biden being Obama, being a puppet.
Yeah, of course he was. He wasn't running office. Obama had his people in there running, there pulling strings for him. You know, they're just telling him what to do, how to do it, when to do it. I mean, our relationships with foreign countries. We watched the hatred of Muslims over in Europe. You know, there's reasons why those Muslims are leaving countries, because the Muslims themselves, the pure religion itself in those countries, are driving the bad folks out. They're going into Europe. They're coming to America. They're going. I mean, these extremists, they're having to leave their own countries because of the way they think and the way they react. And they're coming here. But yet we're supplying money to these countries like Iran and some of these countries that love to take them in and then turn around and use our money to buy weapons, to arm these people to fight us back.
All right, Congressman, back to the text line here. Unnamed texter says, bowing to the Democrats is exactly how we got into this position. Making one step forward and taking three steps back seems to be the rhino way. We are allowing the destruction of our country from the inside.
Please quit using words like rhino. You know, from a business standpoint, if you want to get something accomplished, you sit everybody at the table and try to fix stuff. You can't just arbitrarily call somebody a rhino because they have a conversation with a Democrat. I'll tell you one. I'll give you a great example. We are beginning to build parts of submarines here in Mobile. That would have never, ever, ever have happened if I didn't have a relationship with a Democrat on the other side. And when I went to him for help, he says, Jerry, I've got just the thing that can help you down there. And we put it together. We started the avalanche, and that's going to turn. One day we're going to build submarines down there. That didn't happen by Republicans only. That happened because two men had enough respect for one another. They were able to sit down and carry on a conversation with different views and work something out. That's what this government was set up to do, not to fight itself from the inside out. We're destroying this country, our own self, by fighting something called Democrats or Republicans. How about we fight as Americans? How about we just be one instead of one side or the other? God, it feels free.
Reading another unnamed texter here, said, I would like Congressman Carl's opinion on the 14th Amendment and his thoughts about Alabama being one of the states to veto the amendment. Maybe I missed something recently. Was there this was talking about citizenship for naturalized citizens, right? I didn't know there was there a recent vote, or is this guy talking back and reconstruct? I don't know what Is there something that I missed?
Naturalized citizenship I'm aware of was during the Bush administration, was it not?
I don't know. I'm ignorant on this.
Yeah, you got me on that one. I don't know how to respond on that one, Sean.
Let's see. Tony says releasing the investigation will ensure that Gates does not run for public office again. I wonder if that is a move with this idea that he would be put in as a senator, in Florida.
That's politics I haven't got involved in. I don't know. He could probably still run. He's pretty strong in Florida, believe it or not. I mean, what we think, whatever we think about him, he is strong in his district. You won't beat him in his district. He might still run for governor. Or he may still run for Senate. I don't know.
Congressman Jerry Carl, our guest. We're going to go to the news and come right back. More of your text at 343-0106. The Christmas Eve edition of Midday Mobile.
Watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why.
Why?
Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list.
You know, I do worry that, when NORAD Tracker gets cranked up on Christmas Eve, Santa's doing his thing, that it'll be reported as a drone. I don't know yet. It'll be like a fast-moving drone. We can't explain how it's moving like this. Looks like it's under reindeer power. We're not exactly sure. We'll have to watch that. All right. Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, the Christmas Eve edition, and talking with Congressman Jerry Carl. Congressman, a couple things. First of all, Dan on the text line said, good afternoon, Sean. I like Congressman Carl. I will miss him. He has good sense. Merry Christmas from Dan and Sims. Well, Merry Christmas to you too, Dan.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it's you got the so I got to ask this too. The what's next portion of it. We've had a couple conversations about this. Is there anything you can tell us what's next for you in the world of politics?
Yeah, I got offered the position on Trump's cabinet and I turned it down last
week.
Really? It just wasn't. Yeah, I did. I want to serve where I think I can do folks in Alabama and the folks in Mobile the most good. And that particular position, and I don't want to talk to, I'll go into it with you one-on-one, but it's not what I feel like would have benefited the state. So I'm going to wait. I'm still working on one other appointment that they've been talking to me about. If I can get it certainly would tie well into a lot of the events that are going on right now that will affect Mobile. And, I've always been about, I hope I can honestly say, it's never been about me. It's always been about serving the people in Mobile and South Alabama, the state of Alabama. That's always been where my heart's at, and that's where I'll always be.
All right,
sometimes
Congressman,
you got to say no, Sean.
That's right. You can't. Yes, the only reason you can walk into anything with your head held high is the ability to go into it and say no as well. So fairly said. You're leaving a note for incoming AL1 Congressman Barry Moore, like, all right, here's the, I'm going to write this down on the legal pad here. Here's some things you need to be paying attention to. Do you do anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I've met with him several times. I've met with Figures several times. I think Figures, is probably going to surprise a lot of folks. He certainly is hiring the right people. He hired a lot of my staff. That will work real well for people, especially that have cases that are open now. So it'll be just like them not missing a beat. I think Figures' heart's in the right place. He's got to serve a huge master. I talked to him about that quite a bit. I offered him my help, anything I can do. Anything we can do to help these elected officials, we have to work with them. And in the business community in Mobile, I know a lot of people. He knows a lot of people, so I'll help him where I can. And the same with Barry. I've been giving Barry little whispers in the ear to do this, do that, look at this, take a look at that. Barry's his own man, and it seems to work well for Barry. So Barry will adapt things the way Barry wants it, and I'm sure Barry will be successful. So I bless them both. I tell you, I'm going into this 119th Congress excited about all of our elected officials in the state of Alabama. We have no idea how blessed we are, the people we have elected.
Well, you and I will be talking about them going forward. Before that, though, I want y'all to have a very Merry Christmas at your house. And I appreciate you very, very much and your family. And we'll be doing this again pretty soon.
Merry Christmas, my friend. Enjoy your family.
All right. There he goes, Congressman Jerry Carl, coming back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. April Marie Fogle coming up in just about 10 minutes.